The God who gave us life gave us liberty. The problem is, there are people in power these days who really don't like that. Come, travel the road to freedom with your host, Eleanor White. Welcome to show number 6, recorded on July 1st, 2005. Road to Freedom is a listener-sponsored show by and about all the targets of electronically assisted vigilante gang stalking throughout the world. Road to Freedom brings you the information on this crime wave, which has so far been denied by every government and private agencies whose mission is to help those who are the targets of crime. The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and may not be those of others who are targets of vigilante stalking and electronic harassment, or of any person or group who may replay these recorded programs. Important information for anyone who is thinking about donating to keep Road to Freedom on the air is found on the cover page of this show's website, just below the clickable list of shows. This show's website is shoestringradio.net. That's all one word, shoestringradio.net. Vigilante stalking and the covert use of advanced electronic weapons on vigilante stalking targets is basically the use of lies, again, lies, to motivate networked groups of citizens to destroy the lives of their innocent targets. These programs are about the ongoing efforts to expose this activity and hopefully to stop it. Today, I'm going to share some anecdotes from the targets of vigilante stalking and electronic harassment who have submitted these anecdotes for posting on our websites. These reports are, here in 2005, coming into me like the torrent over Niagara Falls. These are only a small fraction of reports, and I can tell you, listener, that both living through such things and hearing reports from all over the world nonstop is a very harrowing experience. These are not made-up stories for sensationalism. They are not mental illness either. Let's start with an anecdote from a vigilante stalking target I'll call L. L says, I discovered my husband had been molesting and had been allowing associates to molest my daughter, Jennifer. When I called the police, my husband said, you have no idea what you have done. I then took Jennifer to a pediatrician, then to a children's hospital. By the time I was done, the authorities twisted the story around so that I, meaning the wife, was declared mentally ill, and the children's custody given to my pedophile husband. A year later, I am still fighting this, and from conversations, I understand that if I win, I will probably be killed. The public has no idea how corrupt the justice system is, and what a stranglehold organized pedophile rings have on public officials. Next, from a vigilante stalking target, I'll call S. frequent thefts and sabotage of my belongings to the point that I now can't afford three meals a day. I experience theft and sabotage of my food and kitchenware. This from a vigilante stalking target I'll call P. Before I realized that I was being targeted for some reason, I used to get a lot of odd damage and stains appearing in my house. But I chalked it up to having a child. There would be no way of knowing what he might have spilled. But when the drain pipes from the roof kept repeatedly getting crushed or pulled apart so that the basement would get water when it rained, I knew it wasn't my son doing it. But I thought maybe it was some kids in the neighborhood who liked to dismantle drain pipes. When the screen doors developed tears in them right next to the door handles, which I locked at night, I felt slightly suspicious. When the door locks themselves went askew and my keys didn't work quite as well, I had no idea at the time that this was an indication that my locks had been tampered with. Looking back, I realized that there was sabotage going on a fair amount. The stains were some kind of engine oil spread all over the house, including on my son's bed, under his sheets. He's not a baby, so he wasn't throwing motor oil around. This anecdote from Gloria. I put up with this stalking for 13 years, and then suddenly one night, while I was starting to drift off to sleep, I felt what seemed like a bolt of electricity hit the middle of my body. Repeated hits to my stomach and back and rib cage continued for hours. These electroshock zaps and zings have gone on since 1998, depriving me of sleep. I also get really intense headaches, even though I almost never used to get headaches before the zaps and zings began. The zings cause other types of body pain too, but the two worst problems for me are the sleep deprivation and the splitting headaches. Eleanor White talking, I've had things like zaps too while trying to sleep, or what I call bee stings, and long periods in the night when I can't get back to sleep even though I only drink one cup of decaffeinated coffee each day. Do any visitors to this site have any idea how a stalker could accomplish these zaps and zings and bee stings? I certainly don't. This from P. I've had problems with clothing being torn and destroyed. Every coat I have bought for my son in the last 2 years has had problems with the zipper not working from about the first week onward. My own recent new coat needed a zipper within a month at a cost of $50 because it was a long zipper. At the same time, it developed several tears in the inner seams. Most recently, the metal zipper on my jeans was subtly rendered inoperable by teeth falling out. But metal teeth don't just fall out of zippers. Then the situation got worse, and I knew something wasn't right, and that this wasn't all random. The walls of my bedroom began to give off loud rapping sounds at night, very loudly, as though someone was throwing stones at the wall. My furnace got so loud that the whole house shook when it was on, and it was like a train was going through the house. My appliances began to behave strangely, stopping working for a few days, then starting working again. Eleanor White talking, This is very common for vigilante stalking targets. The vigilante stalkers apparently have electronic equipment which can cause appliances to fail at a distance. We do not know how this equipment works. P continues, a lot more happened besides this, but it is impossible to explain and makes me look a little crazy to talk about it. When I began to suspect someone was behind all of this in the fall of 2002, I encountered all kinds of additional problems, including mail being lost, false charges appearing on my credit card, static and clicks on my phone, lots of hang-ups, and problems with my television reception. I suddenly got bug infestations that I had never had before, and I got very sick. I developed diarrhea that lasted for 8 weeks. I felt so sick and tired, my bedroom walls kept doing this rapping at night, keeping me awake. I noticed that if I drank bottled water, I felt much better. There were no reports of E. coli in my region, but certainly looked like my water had become unsafe for some reason. Desperate, fearful, and not knowing where to turn for help, I fled my house and moved in with my parents. I am 40 years old. This from N. Not only are there instances of multi-stalkers, some of these stalkers have followed me from one state to another. Because of my job, I had to make a move from a state in the southwest to a state in the midwest, some 2,000 or so miles away. There were very few of us in my work group who made that move. The license plates from the old state, the one I was moving from, had very loud colors and were quite noticeable. Even a co-worker noticed a car with plates from the old state which was lurking around our new place of employment. He mentioned that he did not recognize the car or the two men who were in the car. I recognize them as two of my stalkers from the old state who are now stalking me at my new job location and in my new apartment. These creeps were constantly breaking into my apartment and either stealing my property or in some way trashing it. These two men would also eat lunch frequently at a table next to the table where I and my co-workers would be having lunch. When a person is trying to hang on to a job and working anywhere from 60 to 80 or 90 hours a week, there is no energy or time left to try to fight these creeps. This from N. Suspending for the moment the belief by some that multi-stalker incidents could not occur in the United States, I would like to remind everyone that this is a country which recently landed two rovers on the surface of Mars. With that in mind, I will relay the incident of ordering refill pages for my day planner I was using at the time. I called the 800 number and talked to someone named Paul. He seemed very lackadaisical and uninterested in taking my order. I waited for a month for the refills to arrive, and they never did. The company I dealt with had always been very prompt and provided good service before this time. I called the company again and was told they had no record at all of my previous order, and they also had no order taker named Paul. If anyone tries to tell you there will be clicks or other noises on a tapped phone line, don't believe it. Consider how much personal information often goes out over the phone. appointments, credit card information, etc. Now consider how much technology has improved since this incident happened to me years ago. Again, if you don't believe me, go out some night and look up at the planet Mars. Eleanor White talking. Incredible as it sounds, multiple stalker victims report that the stalking groups are sometimes able to enlist the aid of various stores and other public service providers. This shows clearly that the multiple stalking phenomenon is much larger and runs much deeper than with single stalker cases. I have had a number of incidents as described above where commercial organizations have participated in the harassment. This from L. Yesterday, February 23rd, 2004, was up there with the most bizarre days in my life. Of that, there is no doubt. I was dialing a number with 911 in the middle of the number and got the 911 operator instead. I was fortunately able to tape the last part of the conversation with the 911 operator, who was insistent that I had misdialed. Nope, not a chance. Also not a chance that my phone missed the first outgoing four numbers of the call I was trying to make originally, and which had never happened before. The police came even though I explained I had not dialed 911. The cop tried telling me that it was likely the battery in the phone and they can sometimes go weak and dial crazy numbers. I'm not buying that, are you? He spent a good 15 minutes in my entrance, shooting the breeze, and then was on his way. I made a few calls, and then another unintended call to 911. Even though they had the first one on record and I insisted that everything was okay, another cop was dispatched. Took this guy 20 minutes to arrive. Good thing it wasn't a real case of hostage taking, eh? And they had assigned a backup unit to respond as well. But when he got here, he called in and canceled backup. Upon entering my home, he said, I understand you had the pleasure of meeting Constable Marshall earlier on. I replied, yes, lovely man that he was, and that I'm certain you are. I had not intended to be meeting any of our boys in blue today. Naturally, my neighbors all rubbernecked as they drove by my place. You don't see a lot of cops in driveways out here, never. Only at my place, actually. I had company expected for dinner. What makes things even odder is that the timing of the cop leaving my driveway was just a couple of minutes ahead of company arriving. This is the first time I've invited my brother and sister-in-law over since all hell broke loose last year. They only live 12 minutes away. Some days it just sucks to be me. This from N. Another incident of telephone harassment involved a large department store that has seasonal catalogs. When I still had a good paying job, a home, and a life, I used to periodically order things from this store. The store would send out an automated message notifying me my order was ready to pick up. One day, I received such a message over the phone. It immediately registered with me that I hadn't ordered anything from the store for quite a few months. I got into the car. I still had a car back then. drove all the way down to this department store and inquired as to why I would be getting this message. The catalog department, of course, had no idea and no knowledge of any such message being called out to me. This clearly illustrates how telephone calls can be intercepted or completely fabricated and transmitted to the victim's home number. And remember, listeners, that vigilante stalking gangs have lots and lots of tradesmen, including highly technical trades. And it is pretty obvious from reading David Lawson's book, Terrorist Stalking in America, that a lot of this telephone-based harassment is easy for them to do because they had people on the inside at the telephone company. She goes on, "Incidentally, I've always had a non-published number. This incident was inconvenient and cost me travel time and wear and tear on the car. It also left my home open yet again to invasion and destruction of my property. It left my little dog open to more abuse. Multiply these incidents by thousands of times over many years, and perhaps you begin to get an idea of what life is like for some of us." This from D, and this is a list. Here are a few things that happen in my life. Cabinet and drawer handles held on by screws are repeatedly loosened artificially. Magnetic latches on cabinets are loosened artificially so that the cabinet doors will not latch properly. Wood veneers on drawers and cabinets are partially peeled off artificially. The car radio speaker balance controls and car ventilation and heating system controls are tampered with and become loose or difficult or impossible to operate. Previously opened caps on items such as deodorant and food containers have been retightened excessively while I'm out. There seems to be much more dirt in my life than there should be. My apartment rapidly accumulates dust and sand, especially on the floors, as if somebody is sprinkling a small amount each time I am out. Eleanor White speaking. That happens to me too. After years of this, I've developed the habit of checking the floors each time I leave the apartment. This unnaturally fast buildup of dirt happens while I'm out. It doesn't happen gradually, it happens while I'm out. In my 25 years of being a target, clearly this is deliberate and not just normal accumulation of dirt. D continues, "The dust bunnies are the most puzzling. I thought that they are a combination of spider webs and ordinary dust, but they also happen during the dead of winter when there are few, if any, spiders because there are no insects on which to feed." Eleanor White speaking, dust bunnies happen, we all know that, but after 25 years of this and cleaning my apartments, I can tell you that they happen much more rapidly during certain years when apparently these perpetrators decide that this is their this is one of their harassment methods of choice. At least one story has been sent in where one senior is being harassed and that person's spouse is gravely ill. Seniors with minimal income and no way to fight back. This is how low the perpetrators go when choosing people to gang torture. One man in his 80s is being severely harassed. Here's an anonymous email, and by the way, I know these people. they're not anonymous to me. They only ask that their stories be posted anonymously. This is from September 2004. I will go through periods where nobody will ever even talk to me or be bothered. My sister has just up and stopped talking to me. She's the type of person that would ordinarily tell me if she had a problem with me, but suddenly she doesn't want to hear from me. I contact her and she doesn't answer, but she will talk with others in the family. My brother, who is a straightforward person, never seemed to have problems with me most of the time, and will now argue with me continually and try to nitpick at me and get me into useless debates. If I say it's raining, he will say it's sunny outside, just for the hell of it. Even people on the bus I ride to school or work that I am friendly with will stop talking to me and look the other way, like they're afraid of me or something, and I don't do anything but be nice and mind my business. People at work will turn on me for no reason, and professors at school will sometimes look at me like I'm an alien from another planet. Then, oddly enough, there are times when it will go away, and then suddenly out of the blue it starts up again. I'm a very strong person, but sometimes I swear it feels like I'm going to snap and lose it. But then I pull myself together with help from God and go on. It takes strength, a lot of strength. This from F in September 2004. I noticed I was being stalked in 1996. There were cars following me everywhere I went. I would say up to 30 cars. I had never had anything like that happen to me before. I was terrified. They seemed to know when I was going to leave the house or work. People at work started treating me like I was a criminal. My children, who are adults and live out of state, didn't believe me. I still have a very distant and strained relationship with them. I noticed the stalking from September 96 to March of 97. It has ruined my life. I have no friends or family support, and it has started again. I live in Texarkana, Texas. There have to be other victims in this town. If you have heard from anybody, please let me know. I will try and document what is happening as best I can put it, but it would be so much better if I had someone who knew the hell I am going through. We can help one another. In 1996-97, there were strange people who moved into houses on both sides of me. The ones on the north side seemed to know when I would be in my kitchen, because as soon as I would walk in the kitchen, they would come out in their backyard and just stare at me through my window. There were always five or six of them. One day I drove by the police department to see if they would follow me there. They did. I also saw several of the cars that had been following me parked at the Bi-State Justice Building, which houses the police department as well as the county courts. We need to stop these people from torturing others. I have always been a law-abiding citizen and have never done anything to deserve this. This is from John Allman of the United Kingdom in October 2004. Somebody living in Manchester mentioned gang stalking documented in ancient times. The day he visited my house, a month or so ago, he's writing a book that he hopes will be published when finished, which cites ancient reference to gang stalking in Latin. The day he visited my house, I got a toothache that spreads to other teeth so badly that my visitor decided to leave my house before we'd finished, to spare me further torture. He left, and the toothache stopped immediately. Eleanor White talking. As we've discussed in earlier shows, we know of at least 5 electronic technologies which are capable of through-the-wall operation and can cause a wide variety of mind and body effects. What John Allman describes, a sudden painful ache in multiple teeth, is not unusual, even though we don't know exactly how such technology works. I've had that myself. This is from Jay in October 2004. For about 2 years now, I have seen an increasing number of police in the mix in terms of my gang stalking. They use a lot of teenagers and borderline mentally retarded as well to cause trouble and say things so that I will react to them. 5 minutes later, the police will ride by. Or if I'm on the phone and I say I'm going somewhere, there will be a squad car waiting for me, or in one case, more than one squad car waiting for me. Eleanor White talking. During 1 month, after handing a copy of David Lawson's book review of his Terrorist Stalking in America to a local police officer, I found every time I walked around my city, I could count on seeing a couple of police vehicles minimum in places they are rarely seen. Others have reported this same kind of thing. Please keep in mind, listener, that according to Terrorist Stalking in America, some police officers support vigilante stalkers as an unacknowledged part of the justice system. Jay continues. Once I was driving with my husband and a squad car came out of nowhere and almost hit us. Then he slowly turned around, I guess to catch our emotional response to it. Now I keep a camera with me at all times to take pictures of the cars and license plates. At every job and every place I have lived, there is defamation of character and no support from supervisors or the higher-ups who were aware of this. From Anonymous in November 2004. I've been gang-stalked by firefighters and ambulance drivers along with cops. I'm in the Cleveland, Ohio area. I also have the sirens go off in the morning a lot. My neighbors are all yelling about that all the time. Eleanor White commenting, often neighbors are co-opted as perps, meaning perpetrators, and will refuse to acknowledge blatant harassment, including noise, even though it's so obvious and so loud it can't be denied. It is good to hear that in this case, neighbors aren't pulling that particular harassment trick. Anonymous continues. Firemen, police, and other respected members of our community doing gang harassment and stalking needs to be exposed. Firemen doing gang stalking is happening to many people in San Francisco, and it needs to be all over the media. The gang stalking that a friend of mine is experiencing personally is really beyond criminal. It is being done by firemen, police, and other people that the target doesn't have any relationship with. A brief account of what they are doing to my friend. They actually enlist people to help stalk, harass, and issue out hate to this person and several other people in San Francisco. My friend was harassed so much that it became a danger to keep living in their home they had lived in for many years. So they have to move out with no place to move to because they are not safe in their own home where they pay rent. Sirens would go off any time. She thinks about racism or topics heard on radio station KPFA. It's just too many things to list. So I'll repeat that again. Sirens go off whenever she talks about racism or topics heard on a radio station which airs many alternative news stories. That is not unusual. Anonymous continues, when my friend was at home, she was harassed constantly by sounds made in response to everything she said and did in her apartment. My friend was not allowed to sleep through the night for over a year and a half. Eleanor White talking. The old medical device, the Leda machine, which we talked about in earlier shows, when set at a pulse rate matching the wide awake state, can keep people awake silently through the wall. It's basically a pulsed radio transmitter. Anonymous continues, the harassers enlisted other tenants to watch her like a hawk when she came home, who came to visit when she left. The firefighters would verbally taunt her and make sounds in concert with the tenants in that building. Some of the tenants in that building are friends with these firefighters doing the gang stalking and harassing. And Eleanor White commenting here, it seems that according to David Lawson's book, Terrorist Stalking in America, harassment by firefighters is fairly common. I'm not sure exactly why this is. The only thing I can think of is that people who are very highly motivated towards doing community service, such as firefighters are also very susceptible to lies about a target. And I'm sure that the firefighters who are doing the harassing believe that the target is a major criminal of some sort and that they're actually doing community service. Anonymous continues, when my friend would leave home, the home would be broken into, water and food tampered with. Eavesdropping on phone calls took place and listening through walls. My friend walks around the city and is followed by police cars, also fire trucks. They actually let my friend know and they don't try to hide their work vehicles. Whenever my friend talks about the harassment on the phone, sirens from the fire department or police sirens go off as soon as she puts down the phone. To confuse things even worse, these harassers enlist people who have something in common with the target. For example, they enlist people of color, gays and lesbians, women and men. I believe this is done so that none of the isms can be used as the reason why the harassment is taking place. In other words, what they're doing here is making sure that there is a wide mix of people from all different lifestyles so the target is unable to pinpoint one particular group as the cause of the harassment. Anonymous continues, it is the saddest thing to me to watch the hell and torture they put my friend through. And the most hurtful part of all is there isn't much information about this in any of the media in San Francisco. So the support is very limited for now. My friend is being forced to hide out. My friend is disabled, and this makes life even harder. This is so cruel. These criminals are basically getting away with being abusive, which these perps seem to enjoy invoking, and they have no compassion at all. They have made that very clear from their deeds. I sometimes wonder why there isn't more in the media about this. I wonder if it's because people are afraid to report on such activities because they don't want to be the next target. Eleanor White commenting, that's quite possible. And in fact, some neighbors who don't want to cooperate in the harassment are threatened by the perpetrators. Anonymous continues, I hope this write-up encourages more people going through it in San Francisco to speak out. It needs to be exposed and stopped. This from R, November 2004, and this is another list. If I were to fully elaborate on each of the following occurrences, I would end up writing a book. Now a list from hell. In my last year, 1. A disgustingly obnoxious amount of street theater performances. I give 2 thumbs down. These have not been limited to cars and pedestrians swarming me. Sometimes nearly all the customers in a store will file into line just as I'm about to check out, everyone clearing their throat at once, and people making nonsensical statements. I experience blatant acts of this stupidity literally every single time I go out in public. 2. When involved in a conversation, the other participants will suddenly begin acting nervous, twitching, and moving about, and abruptly changing the subject. Occasionally, they will all leave the room at once. 3. Members of my extended family appear to be in on this. Eleanor White commenting, this is widely the case and is very likely caused by perpetrators masquerading as police, telling lies to family members about the target. 4. R continues, it appears that I must have a horrible reputation now. When in public, I am leered at and whispered about. Often store clerks are quite rude or I am outright ignored. Recently, I moved to a different town. Not one store clerk among many would let me have a single cardboard box. My extended family, save one or two people, refused to speak to me, and I have been told that I am not welcome in any of their homes. No one will, however, tell me a damn thing. And Eleanor White commenting, classic gang stalking here. Lies do amazing things to friends, family, neighbors, and business associates. R continues, I could write a mile-long list of the strange little items which have gone missing or have been moved. And Eleanor White echoes that, me too, all the time. 6. My clothing frays in the crotch and the butt. I buy more underwear and socks, but never seem to get the full life from either one. 7. 3 flat tires in the span of 2 weeks. Each time there was no hole. Seemed as though air had been let out and the valve stem replaced. 8. A mutilated kitten. Eleanor White commenting, we have evidence that Satanists are sometimes involved in these crimes. In fact, on the multistalkervictims.org website, you can see some satanic threats which one of our members actually received. The torture and deaths of animals clearly points to Satanism. 9R continues. A peeping Tom who wanked his you-know-what. 10. Employment weirdness, including being placed under a loudspeaker and told I could not move or turn bad music down. My computer continuously crashing. My passwords becoming invalid. Being leered at and whispered about by coworkers. And cornered in a closet by management. Number 11. Identification lost or stolen. Then my birth certificate never showed up after 2 months of sending them money, and someone else has the same social security number as mine, which is preventing me from getting assistance to pay for pregnancy-related medical care. 12. I wake up every night at almost the same time, and I mean awake. By the time I fall back asleep, it is almost time to get up. Eleanor White commenting, this is classic gang stalking. The old medical device, the Leda machine, can do this. Number 13, R continues. Disgustingly morbid things happened to me at a hospital. My clothing was literally ripped from my body, and I was tied up in a tiny metal room. I was supposedly injected with Haldol, and I cannot account for 3 days of time. When I woke up, I was escorted to a disgusting restroom that had no sink. There was blood in my urine, bright red blood. The so-called doctors and nurses had strange metallic voices that hurt my head. I was turned loose shortly after midnight, still drugged. My skeleton felt too big for my skin, probably the way Alice felt before entering Wonderland. I was so uncomfortable. Couldn't sit down, stand up, lie down. I think it might have been Jesus Christ who saved me and gave me a ride the hell out of there. I don't really know what happened, just that those so-called people gave me horrible drugs. And that one of them looked like a member of my extended family. Eleanor White commenting, gang stalking targets are not insane. The vigilante gang members are. R continues, there is more. I feel so isolated. I wish I had a friend. Life has become ugly. Well, folks, that's it for anecdotes for today. I could go on, and we will go on in future shows. But I hope I've given you a glimpse of what life is like when you're being targeted by vigilante stalking gangs, many of which are assisted by through-the-wall electronic weapons, which can destroy your ability to sleep and put you in a lot of pain. For more information on vigilante gang stalking and electronic harassment, please see the links on this show's website, which is shoestringradio.net. That's all one word, shoestringradio.net. Well, folks, that's it for today. I invite you to join us again next time as we travel the road to freedom. And folks, that is a very long and rocky road, as you can see from the photo at the top of this website. And remember, people, freedom isn't free.